Great. So welcome, everybody. This is our first PE 102 conference call, and PE 102 is Create Positive Program Experiences. So, and David, you're in a different chat. Okay, so I'll use both chats then. There we go.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Great lead-in from Nathan sharing some of where his programming for summer day camps have come from, leading into Create Positive Program Experiences. So thanks for sharing that, Nathan. So I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwanlin Dun First Nation and Ton Kwachin Council. And this learning event, PE 102, because it has the number 2, it's the second of a couple of learning events that is designed to help recreation leaders deliver quality recreation experiences. So in this learning event, as you may have noticed if you took a look at the slides on slide number 4, we're going to explore how to establish safe and supportive environments for the participants that you have in your programs, and specifically probably more focused on children and youth, although a lot of what we're learning also applies to adults and elders as well. So figuring this out will involve recognizing some of the personal and social factors that influence individual behavior, identifying strategies that contribute to safe, inclusive, and positive recreation experiences, and next week we'll be understanding how to apply a strengths-based approach that fosters the recreation experiences that we're looking for. So we will start with a round of introductions, but I just wanted to give a little bit of a disclaimer or something just beforehand. I'd like to remind you that as recreation leaders, you may encounter situations where you're told about or suspect child or elder abuse, self-harm behaviors, and things that are damaging. Recreation North doesn't teach you what to do in those circumstances. One of the reasons why is that we're not experts in that, but also each territory has different rules about the age of a child, like when the age of majority, the age of minority, and also different rules about the duty of professionals and community members to report abuse. So your communities will have resources for helping in those situations. So I've added some links to your territory, through the Child and Welfare Act, things like that, the things that provide some guidance in the Explore More section. And then also, if you have questions, please talk to your local RCMP or social services, because it is a really important topic. I don't want to minimize it by not touching on it, but I'm not an expert in that area, so it's not something that I go into great detail on. So let's start off. I see that Isabel's joined our call too. So we're going to start off with taking a few minutes just to introduce ourselves. And when you introduce yourself, just again share your name and your community, although I guess I'll probably be saying your name anyways. And then what I'd like to invite you to do, and I'll pop this into the chat, is in 10 seconds or less, describe what comes to mind when you think of positive recreation experiences. So what do you imagine or what do you visualize when you hear the word or when you hear reference to positive recreation experiences? So Trista, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to put you on the spot the first time round. So we'll go Trista, Nathan, Peter, David, Juliana, Isabel, and then we'll rotate after that. So Trista, does it work for you to jump in? And you might be muted, so you might need to just unmute.
I'll be in the chat. I have others in my office.
Okay.
Right now.
Perfect. Thanks for letting us know. So you can pop in the chat. Let's go to Nathan then. Nathan, I already introduced you with your name, but what comes to mind when you think of positive recreation experiences?
The thing that comes to my mind is people having fun in a safe environment, like kids, adults, elders, anybody, right? Or public, and as long as they're having fun in a recreation setting or something, like playing games like hockey or indoor playground, or even if it's just square dancing at a community event, it's people socializing, having fun. Safe.
That's great, and I noticed that you use the word safe with that having fun, and it's hard to have fun when you don't feel safe. So, you know, those are two words that, although they're very much different, the words in and of themselves, when we think of positive recreation experiences, I like how you put them together because they are important to each other. So thanks, Nathan. Over to you, Peter. What comes to mind for you when you think of positive recreation experiences? And if someone said the same thing as what you're thinking, you can just reiterate it too, or restate it.
Hello, my name is Peter Jacob, and I live in Whitehorse. And I always think of the quote, people will not always remember what they did in your program, but they will remember how they felt. And so just making people feel welcome and included and happy, that is what's going to stick with them in the long run. And so I think that's something important to consider.
Yeah, so the doing part is not what they remember, it's the feeling that they get from the doing. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, like, and obviously, like, the actual activities are important, but really, it's how you make the people feel about the program. And you make them feel good, then they'll enjoy it. And the activities are sometimes, like, secondary to that, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Peter. That's great. It's really important because I think we remember feelings a lot more deeply for a longer period of time, like in different parts of the brain. So thank you. David, over to you. When you think of positive recreation experiences, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I have an image in my mind, but before I share the image, that's David Jennings, Elder Active Whitehorse Yukon Program Coordinator. Nathan said the two key words, safe, fun. Peter said the second key words is felt, feelings, included, and happy. Now, your question is, what came to my mind? What came to my mind was an image of my son in front of Captain Hook, the float going down Disney's fairway where Captain Hook was throwing out coins of chocolate, gold, and my boy with a grin from ear to ear, jumping and skipping in delight.
Aww, that's a great image. What a great memory. And you must have a lot of feeling that went along with that memory of the event. So thank you for sharing that, David.
Yep.
Juliana, over to you, if you'd like to introduce yourself and share what comes to mind when you think of positive recreation experiences.
Hi. Yeah, Juliana here from Cambridge Bay. I'm the manager of Coalition, and I'm helping the recreation team on the planning and designing of some programs and looking for funding for the activities. So when I think about an answer for your question, maybe something or a kind of activity that we use with the mood or social interaction of people in the community.
Yeah, so sort of the mood or the emotions or the sense that you get from people together as compared to from each individual person. So that, it's just not necessarily celebration, but maybe enjoyment or things like that. Thanks, Juliana. Over to you, Isabel. What comes to mind for yourself when you think of positive recreation experiences?
Hello, my name is Isabel. I am from Zakwakata Haines Junction in the Yukon Territory. I'm currently calling from Whitehorse, though. I have to be on the move. I'm late to the call. I'm just going to catch up here, and I'll have to leave shortly after to attend an appointment. But I want to share positive experience when I think of recreation. I think I want to say all of the above, everything that folks have already mentioned.
That's great. Thanks, Isabella. And just no worries if you have to jump off. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us while you can. So I know it's challenging sometimes to fit everything in a day. So thank you. And Trista's popped in the chat that positive recreation experiences to her are safe, fun events hosted with participants who enjoy their time and want to participate again. So there's something that we didn't say. So it may be a positive recreation experience encourages people to continue participating or even to try new things in recreation. So thank you everyone for your introductions. So as your comments and also slide number 8 show, positive recreation or positive experiences contribute to the benefits of recreation that we've talked a lot about in most of our learning events. Positive experiences can be motivating. They can be developmental. In other words, they can help children develop skills, emotional strengths, things like that, social abilities. They are healthy and also active. Positive experiences can create a sense of belonging, as you mentioned, encourage social responsibility, and foster leadership too. But at times, challenging behaviors can make it difficult for participants to have positive experiences. Sometimes it might be their own behaviors or feelings, or the behaviors that other participants exhibit. So challenges such as these can affect learning, social development, they can pose risks to physical and emotional health, and they can contribute to stress and burnout of leaders. So Nathan, when you talked about having 150 kids running around doing unstructured activities, I was wondering about physical safety of those kids and also the stress of the leaders trying to manage all of that. So slide 10, if you've been looking through the slides, what it does is it suggests that you support positive experiences by being aware of what drives behaviors, by understanding personal and social factors that impact behavior, and by using a strengths-based approach. And this learning event was actually developed with support from a social worker, so it's not just me here pulling things out randomly. So I did have somebody who had a social work background and an experience in recreation help develop the content for this learning event. So this week we're going to look at awareness and empathy. So if you look at slide 11, if you have it in front of it, it shows that behavior can be a clue about what's going on in someone's life. So if you think about, for those of you who have some background in this, think about how the brain influences our behavior. And so I've got a little diagram on slide number 12. And what it explains is different events or triggers can shut down the more rational part of our brain, and it sort of pushes us into what we call survival mode. And survival mode then pushes our behavior from something that we might expect as rational or logical or things like that into more outside what's called a tolerance window, which is shown on slide 13, or more into sort of fight, flight, or withdrawal type behaviors. So these are things that actually if anyone has children in school, or if you know anyone who's are teachers, these sorts of concepts are things that are often used in the education system as well. So what I'd like you to do is think of a program or a participant in one of your programs. Imagine that what you see is only a small part of this person, kind of like the tip of an iceberg that's shown on slide 14. And what you don't see, what's below the surface, is what shapes who they are and how they interact with other people. So let's take a moment, and what I want to do is just sort of brainstorm some of the factors that influence participants' behaviors. So just so that one person doesn't say all of them, I'll just invite you to share one thing that's either a personal or a social behavior, a personal or a social factor that can influence the behaviors that you see. And so let's go around the circle. I'm going to start with Nathan this time, and then next time around we'll start with Peter. And if you want to, you can also pop your answer into the chat, and I'll put the question in the chat again so that you have it in front of you. So if you think about the iceberg, that you know, a lot of what a person is about and where their behaviors come from is what we don't see. What are some of the factors that might be underlying behaviors that we do see? Nathan, do you have an idea of one?
Yeah, the only one, well, there's a few I can think of, but the one that really stands out, I remember when we were having last year the summer day camp, we had this one boy, he just moved to Baker Lake because his house had just burned down and he was being fostered because his mother couldn't take care of him anymore because she had a baby as well and other kids. So she sent him to foster family in Baker Lake. And he wouldn't talk to anyone. He just sat in the corner all day. We had 150 kids, and kids would try to talk with him, and he wouldn't do anything. He would just stare at the floor. So we decided to have one. We had 20 youth leaders watching the 150 kids. We assigned one youth leader to just be with them, and just we told her, do all the talking. He probably won't say anything. You can just try and make him feel comfortable. Try and make him happy. Like, he understood what he's going through. Like, he just lost his home. But after 3-4 days of just one-on-one contact, he was running around, playing, talking to all the kids, laughing, having fun. So you need to do, that stands out to me, that one-on-one partnership brought him out of his shell.
What a traumatic time for that child. I mean, you know, not only losing your home, but losing your family and your community too. So all at one time, and you know, if you just sort of took that as what you saw without really digging into what the reasons, you know, that were below the surface, it would be hard to know what to do. So really understanding that situation was really important. So thanks for sharing that, Nathan. David, how about for yourself? And this can be about adults or seniors as well as about children or youth. What are some factors or one factor that might affect the behavior of the participants?
Geez, it's a nice selection there. And while I appreciate Nathan's focus on trauma, I think physical or intellectual disabilities can definitely be factors. I've experienced where people are not willing to disclose physical limitations, but they still want to participate. And that physical limitation can lead to problems within the program and or inhibit that person's ability to do the program. So I think understanding physical limitations of participants is a key factor.
Yeah, and especially like for children as well as for adults and seniors. So thank you for raising that, David. And sorry, Peter, I missed you in my orders written down funny. So I'll come back to Peter and then we'll go to Juliana. Peter, what's a factor that you feel might affect the behavior of participants in recreation programs?
Well, one that comes to mind is, Trista actually said in the chat, is home life. Specifically, like, especially for youth. I always just think, like, when I've ran a lot of, like, summer camps and stuff, and or, like, spring break camps, and whenever there's a kid that is, like, very inflammatory and, like, not listening and loud and kind of like always doing things that make it difficult for us to run programming, I'm always wondering, like, does this kid have enough attention at home? Or does this kid feel safe at home? Because they're acting like this and, like, they're kind of an anomaly. Like, everyone else is kind of listening, but this one kid is just so, like, needs, like, attention almost. And it always just makes me think, like, what is going on that this they're acting like this. Like, it's not their fault. It's something that's, like, kind of external that they kind of are almost, like, asking for help. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to try and figure out what those factors are that are influencing it, because as Nathan's example showed, once you understand what those factors are, you might be able to come up with a strategy of how to address it. Because that type of behavior not only affects that one child that's participating, but it also affects the other participants and your leaders as well. So thanks for raising that, Peter. Juliana, how about yourself? What's a factor that you've noticed or that you think of that might affect the behavior of program participants?
I think we have sometimes, though, for sure I was thinking about maybe some long-term trauma or abuse or any kind of negative disorder, but sometimes just feel nice of not being able to sleep well, maybe because you're on a crowded home and you're just sleeping on a mattress on the living room while you, maybe some family members are still crying or you didn't have enough food that week. Sometimes even things like this can really affect how people, they will be at that one event or at school or with their mood and everything.
Yeah, thank you. And I like that you raised food, because that's something that often comes to my mind. Sometimes it's as simple as not having food during the day, or, well, not simple. I don't mean to minimize the fact that people live with a lot of children have food insecurity, but, you know, that's, I think, one of the big reasons why in many of our programs we include healthy snacks, because that's one thing that we can address in our programs is the fact that not every child has access to enough or healthy food in their home life. So those are really good factors. I think you've touched on most of the ones that I covered or included on slide 15. Anything from, you know, changes in home life, trauma, physical limitations, not feeling safe at home, sleep, food. A variety of different factors can really influence the behaviors that you might actually see. So I think the thing that we have to remember is recreation leaders, we're not trained as counselors, and we can't necessarily change other people. But the one thing we can change is we can change how we react. So the way that we respond, so, you know, Nathan, that was a great example of sort of sitting back, thinking what was going on, figuring it out, and coming up with a response that was different for that one child than for the other children. So we can change what we do. We can't change what's going on for those participants in our program. And our change begins with awareness, so knowing what, you know, kind of getting a rough idea of what's going on, and also empathy. So activity one, and also slides 16 and 17, encourage you to consider what empathy looks like. And thanks for your comment, David, about the video. I did reply back to that. So maybe I'll consider, David said that's the video linked on slide 16, just have a box of Kleenex or something beside you while you're watching it. So the other thing, too, is there's empathy, but there's also cultural safety. And cultural safety and empathy, we really need to figure out what they look like so that we can develop those in ourselves. So I'm going to ask you what I think is a really hard question. You're welcome to answer, or you're welcome to pass. It's entirely up to you. But my question for you, and I'm going to, Peter, I'm going to put you on the spot and start with you this round. So my question is, what does empathy mean to you? Or you can say, how do you show empathy? So you can answer one of these two questions. What does empathy mean to you? Or how do you show empathy? So any thoughts come to mind, Peter?
In my program, I learned about motivational interviewing for people who are resistant to behavior change. But to me, empathy means like being able to put yourself in someone's shoes. And a good way to show empathy is reflective listening. So, like, kind of understanding someone's emotion, and validating their emotion, and that usually means like you kind of they'll tell you something, and you kind of literally just like reiterate it back to them, and confirming that that's what you heard, and confirming like that is like valid emotions, and I don't know, it just makes people feel understood.
Yeah, thanks. I like the fact of sort of validating, so not glossing over what they're experiencing, right? So that you try and really understand. I think sometimes it's difficult to understand. You know, I have not lived in situations that all the participants in the programming that I've done have lived in. So, and I've grown up privileged, so it's sometimes hard to understand, but we can still try. So thanks for pointing that out, Peter. David, how about yourself? What does empathy mean to you, or how do you show empathy?
I show empathy through a heartfelt warmth, an understanding, as Peter said, a validation. You may not have walked in that person's shoes per se, but you've had similar experiences, and it's showing that parallel thought, that heartfelt. The word's hard to come by without using the word empathy, but similarity, that parallelism, that closeness, that opens up the vulnerability that they can then recognize and draw off of to gain the strength that they need to feel supported.
Yeah, I like the word that you use, parallel, so, or reflective. So thank you for that. That's a great way of explaining it. Juliana, how about yourself? What does empathy mean to you, or how do you show empathy?
No, I think it's, as we have been talking, like put yourself into someone else's shoe, but I think the difference from sympathy, not just having the feeling, keeping this emotional distance or not acting. I think the empathy is when you act. Sometimes it's not just with words, when you show people that you're open to understand and you care.
So there's an action that's associated with it. It's not just being passive and sitting there and stuff. There's an actual active part on your part to show that empathy. Thanks, Juliana. I'll just see if Trista wants to pop in the chat. And Nathan, how about yourself? What does empathy mean to you, and how would you show it? Like, you can answer one or the other.
The way I show empathy is, like, misery loves company. Just kind of let them understand that you understand their pain and what they're feeling, and that they're not alone, that you're right there with them. So that, yeah, just say you're with them, that they're not alone, right? I don't really know how to explain it, but just to try and show that person you understand what they're feeling. That's what comes to my mind anyway.
Yeah, and it's hard to do that sometimes, I think, too, because as I mentioned after Peter's had it, sometimes I haven't lived through some of the things that some people have lived through, and, you know, so it's sometimes hard to understand. I might recognize it, but actually having experienced it is so that word understanding, I think, you know, we can try and understand, we can try and put ourselves in somebody else's shoes, but have we actually walked in their shoes? As you know, that's a tough one. So it is hard to explain and describe, but I think just that, you know, you said being with that person, I think is really, really important. Thanks, Nathan. And Trista's popped in the chat that empathy means an understanding, and she tries to show it by being open and welcoming to feelings and concerns. And I guess what I try and do too is I also find that I need to make sure that I clear my mind and listen actively. And sometimes it's not easy to do when I'm busy and there's lots going on and you're trying to run a program and you've got, you know, 149 other children there with you and you've got one that you're trying to be so empathy towards. But it's about, I think for me, it's also about being present in that moment with that person and not having all the other busyness of my life going on at the same time. So, it's a really important thing, I think, to think about. And if you have other staff that work with you, so Nathan, if in your case, it's a good conversation to have with people. What does it mean and why is it important? Because it does impact the experiences that people will have. So what I'd like to do is bring our conversation now back to positive recreation experiences. And this week's required learning activity asks you to choose a situation where you experienced or observed challenging behaviors. So this kind of, I'm going to ask you almost the flip of this. So what I'd like to ask you about is that, and you can choose whether you want to share or not, it's entirely up to you. I'd like you to tell us about a time when you, as a participant, had a positive recreation experience. And if you can explain a little bit about what happened and why that experience was positive. So, David, I'm going to put you on the spot first. And you gave a little bit of a lead into this with you, the example of your son. But now thinking of yourself, when did you, as a participant in a recreation program, have a positive experience? And what made it positive for you?
Wow, thanks for that. Putting me on the spot, a positive recreation experience. Okay, if we go back to safe, fun, felt included, and happy, takes me back to when I was in high school, and I was a drag queen on the flotilla of our sports club, parading down in front of our rival high school, throwing spools of toilet paper out onto their front lawn.
Okay.
Had a great time, you know. No harm was done to anybody. I was definitely included in the whole sports regalia, and that made me happy.
Okay. Peter just popped in the chat, lol. So, thanks. I've got this picture in my head now. I'm not going to be able to see you next time without thinking of that.
It was in the back of a 56 Ford. Pick up, of course. Okay.
Okay, thanks for sharing that and making us laugh, David. That's great. Juliana, how about yourself? Can you think of a time when you had a positive recreation experience as a participant?
I'm trying actually to think about when was the last time that I had any kind of recreation time. And it's been hard to go back to it. I'm not able to get any. But actually, I was just thinking about that. I was not there as a participant, but I was just being part of an event. And I was just seeing kids, like, participating in activity, running around. At that moment, I was just thinking, oh, it's great that the people there are here with us working today. They are not just trying to discipline the kids. It doesn't mean that kids, they can do whatever they want, but sometimes we don't set up a kind of activity where it's going to be pleasant for them, so people sometimes they're just like, don't run, don't do things. And that day we didn't have all of that, mainly because of the instructors, and it was a little bit easier on my mind to carry over the activity. Sorry that I wasn't able to find one for myself, but it's something that I noticed in one of the events that we were trying to put together for the kids. And I presume that they would, if I would be there just to enjoy it, it would be better for me and easier to not just have people trying to discipline us.
Yeah, and I feel your pain about when was the last time you participated in recreation. I think most of this winter I've been just going for walks, and that's about it. So I hear you. Sometimes it's hard to go backwards when we're really busy, but thanks for taking the time to share that.
I'm happy you had time for the walks. I'm trying to find this.
On occasion. So thanks, Juliana. Trista, I'll let you pop in the chat. And Nathan, how about yourself? Can you recall when you were a participant in a recreation experience and had a really positive experience?
One I participated in. The only thing I can really think of, I don't really participate in community events until I became a rec coordinator. I'm more of an introvert, always hiding at home. But what I remember in high school was when it was almost the end of we were three quarters of the school year in. People were thinking of quitting. It was getting too hard. Everyone was getting burnt out. And so the teachers decided, let everyone run around in the whole school for the whole day. We'll play carnival games. And we turned the whole school in the hallways, and everyone was running in the hallways, running to the gym. It was awesome, like, because we weren't allowed to run in school, but this was the only day we were allowed to. So everyone blew off steam and laughed, and no schoolwork at all, like. It was just a principal's idea, right? It was an idea to keep the kids from dropping out. And after that day, everyone was refreshed, right? Back to normal as if, like, it was the beginning of school year again. It was, like, rejuvenation. It was beautiful.
That's great. So that also sort of shows you how in recreation, and even though that was a school office thing, it's still recreational, letting people sort of go and do something completely different. Sometimes we have to do what I call a pivot, and it means that we might have this plan in place, but you have to change the plan. And that takes awareness, and it takes understanding and empathy. So what a great principle. I'm really happy to hear that example. So thanks for taking the time to share that, Nathan. Peter, how about yourself? Can you recall a time when you as a participant had a positive recreation experience and what sort of happened?
I remember when I was a kid at Lettice Elementary School, one day a year, I think it was during rendezvous, but I remember it was snowing, like it was cold outside. They had like an event where around the school there was like different stations, and each station had like an activity, and then at the end everyone got Cabana Suka, which is like maple syrup that's like on a taffy stick, for those who don't know. But for the life of me, I can't even remember a single activity. Like, I think we did an egg race once. We have an egg on a spoon. But I just remember thinking that was like one of the best days of the school every year. Like, it was always, you always like so excited for it. But, and that kind of reminds me of like what I had said earlier, where it's like, I don't even remember anything we did. I just remember that being so, so fun.
Oh, that's great. It probably was during rendezvous if you had Cabana Souk. So,
yeah.
And I like how you took us back to what you said earlier, so that it's about those feelings and those memories of the feelings and how recreation can make us feel. And that's where we get those benefits. So imagine those feelings and how they translate to more, your mental health, your mental well-being, how you interact with people around you. And so if you take what you guys just shared about positive recreation experiences and keep in mind that what Peter just said is it's not so much about what you did, but it's what you felt and it's those memories. That's how you can start to see how we can contribute to the benefits of recreation by making sure that the experiences people have in recreation are positive. So thanks for sharing that, Peter. I had one come to mind that I'll just share with you, and it's I really enjoy mountain biking, and my best times mountain biking are actually with my son, and Peter knows my son, but it's because he's patient and he waits for me and he's supportive and he's encouraging. He doesn't tell me to go faster, to go down steeper or anything like that. He sets it at my pace and at my comfort level. So I feel safe, I feel comfortable, but I also really enjoy spending the time with him. So that's a positive experience for me that I haven't had over the winter, but anyway. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to wrap up the call a few minutes early just because I do have to get to the airport. And I will be, I know some of you have posted in this learning event and in others, I'll be looking at your posts over the weekend. So if I haven't replied back to you in my regular 24 hours, it's not because I didn't see it. It's just because I've got to go do some family things and help my mom out. So anyways, I'd like to thank you all for joining the call today. I really appreciate you sort of when we're talking about emotions and tough topics. Sometimes it's hard to put yourself out on the line and put yourself out there, but I really appreciate how you did that. And I'm not going to forget David's story about the prom queen piece. So thanks. Thanks for that too, David. And I'll look forward to reading your required learning activity on Sunday or by Sunday. And then next week, we're going to explore how to support positive experiences and recreation through a strength-based approach. One more point, sorry, when you're doing your required learning activity this week, it's actually a two-part one. So part A, you might want to look ahead to week two so that you know what's coming for part B so that you can kind of think of it in two different parts and you share one this week and then one next week. So if you have any questions, I have a couple of minutes that I can stay on the line after I finish the conference call recording. And otherwise, happy end of March. Looking forward to connecting with you in April. And thank you so much, Shani San, which is thank you in Southern Tichoni. Merci, Kwana. Have a great rest of your week.